I am delighted to have Dr. William Bumpus with us tonight, founder and president of Jesus Inside Prison Ministries, who has, in my opinion, the most powerful prison ministry on this planet today. Chuck Colson just went to be home with Jesus, and he was a powerful prison minister himself. But Dr. Bumpus' success rate, I believe, far outshadows even Chuck Colson's. How many have never heard Dr. Bumpus before? Raise your hand if you've never heard him. Wow! Oh, they need to hear you.
Praise the Lord.
You ready for this?
Amen.
Amen. You guys stand to your feet and welcome the man of God tonight. Dr. Bumpus, just let it go.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hallelujah. Appreciate it. All right. Let's give Jesus Christ a good hand clap. Amen. He is worthy of our praise. You may be seated. Well, I hope y'all ready for this. I'm coming. Well, you know, a lot of times the Lord just had me stir up stuff. And that's what's been happening. It always happens in the prisons. You know what I mean? It always happens in the prisons all over the country. And then the Lord told me, you understand, start preaching the revelations that he didn't give me to churches. And, you understand, and I started down here at Beattyville Sunday, and I just followed the Lord, amen, and God moved. Then I just did the same thing. I mean, the Lord said, if something works, you stick with it, right? Especially if there's anointing on it, you know. And so I went on and did the same thing, a little different at Madison because I was in prison. And that was good, you understand. I ministered to the ladies there, and that was really wonderful because I was able to announce to the women that we was opening up our women's facility in another month. It'll be open where we'll be able to house 20 women. Amen. And we already got a men's facility where we can house one facility, you understand, can house 35. We got two other facilities. Amen. And all of it, you know, debt-free and no grants, amen, or funding or anything like that. Amen. And it goes great. Amen. Training soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then I ministered in Frankfurt and with Pastor Philip. And after I ministered there and Pastor Philip, because the message that you know, the Lord gave me is revolutionary. It ain't really revolutionary. I mean, you know what I mean? Jesus is revolutionary. But it will open up some eyes. You know, the Bible wants to know the truth, right? And the truth will make us free. Amen. And so when I ministered there at Frankfurt, man, it was over then. I said it was over then because I got confirmation. You know what I mean? I mean, I was getting confirmation everywhere I went, you know, with souls getting born again, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, you know, in the churches, you know. And so, you understand, I ministered last night, same thing. So it must be God. But we'll see. But I know it is. I said, amen. I know it is. Amen. And but anyway, praise the Lord. I say all that to say, you understand, I ain't come, you know, I don't just, I don't preach sermons. I can take my time tonight, right? Okay. I don't preach sermons. I preach the truth of God's word. And, you know, the Lord didn't bless me, you know, I'm in prisons all over America. Like I've been, I usually didn't say it, but I started doing it, counted up, you know, I've been in over 450 prisons so far. And I stopped counting like 2 years ago. And, y'all see what I'm saying? And so, I mean, the Lord didn't bless me. I mean, I got the ear of 3.5 million prisoners incarcerated in the United States of America, and God gave me every one of their ear. I mean, every one of their ear. I say that because, you understand, my books is everywhere in every prison. There's not a prison you can go in, you understand, they don't know anything about Jesus Inside Prison Ministry or one of the books or whatever, you know what I mean? And so that's what I do. And so I've been preaching, you understand, starting off, don't get nervous now. Amen, I'm preaching now. Amen, I ain't just selling books. I ain't selling books. Amen, I'm preaching. But this is where it started. It's how I started in Beattyville, you understand? And the Lord just told me to do it. And so that's what I'm going to do. Amen. Like my book right here, amen. You probably didn't seen it. Somebody didn't seen it called You Can Be Set Free. Most everybody, when they mention the book, they says Pastor Bumpus' testimony. It is, but it's much more in here. And the reason why, you know, see, you notice, you know, is the reason why, you know, I'm a prison evangelist, amen. So, you know, I'm reaching prisoners, right? Right? But then, you know what I'm saying, in the church, you know, folk might think, kind of turn you off a little bit because they think, well, as for prisoners, you know what I mean, I ain't no convict. Is that right? All right, turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians. See, I got to give you a verse so you know I'm preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So I'm saying all this so you know this is for you. Amen. Not just for convicts, for you. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. Not like that. I like that New King James Version. Amen. And that's what I use inside prison. Amen. You know, because like the King James said, effeminate. Right? In the King James, it says effeminate. But the New King James just spells it out. Amen. You know, sometimes a prisoner might not know what effeminate means. You know what I'm talking about? Or they can try to get around it. You ain't going to get around that homosexual word, right? I just thought I'd throw it out there. Amen. Nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of them. 11 don't say that. 11 don't say, and such were some of them. It don't. No, it says, and such were some of you. Is that right? But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Everybody in this church is ex-offender. All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Everybody in there, that list right there is criminals. You know, crime, every crime is a sin. I mean, every crime is a sin. It ain't no, you know, people say, well, they give them a different message or they ain't pretty. No, every crime is a sin. Before Kentucky said, we're going to send you to Eddyville, amen, and execute you in Eddyville if you commit a murder, God said, thou shalt not kill. Is that right? Before they say, we're going to give you a certain amount of time for burglary and theft, you understand, God said, thou shalt not steal. We live in a Judeo-Christian country. All the laws, amen, even though they don't, you know, they don't want to go, you know, I don't even have to go there, you understand what I'm saying? My point is, every law in this country is based on Judaism and Christianity. That's the laws in this country. If you was, because it's a Judeo-Christian country, amen. It was set up like that. If you was in an Islamic country, then all the laws in there would be based on the Quran. And so, you know, saying people are in prison because they sin. Bottom line, because they sin. Most of us, I mean, y'all didn't make it that far because you didn't get caught. Moving right along. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like you ain't did nothing. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you hadn't did anything, you wouldn't ask Jesus Christ to come to your heart. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. We judged ourselves as a sinner. We know we did some stuff. Just didn't get caught. Amen. And the ones in prison just got caught. So number one, you understand, we're all convicts. So it means everything in here is for you too. Now, I'm just helping you out. You understand what I'm saying? So you, I'm preaching now. You're going to see it if you mean. I'm giving you some truth now, all right? So it's a black book. You ever know it's a black book? Amen. And there's a black face on the back. You understand that? Now, the reason why, you understand, it's called prisons, you understand, are 60% black. I know y'all ain't noticed that, but you know it is. Amen. 60% black. How you going to have a revelation? How you going to have a revival if you can't reach them? And contrary to what people think, you understand, most convicts, the ones that ain't born again, most of them ain't, amen, is not into Christianity. I say amen. You understand? They think it's a white man's book. The Bible is. White man's lie. You understand what I'm talking about? And that's the truth. I'm just helping you out. And that's the reason why they don't go to the chapel. I say that's the reason why they don't go to the chapel. You know what I mean? And so, you know, when I go in, you know what I mean? They pack the place out. I mean, if the place, if it holds 100, 150 is trying to get in. If it holds 500, 550 of them is trying to get into the service, every service I go into. Why? Because, well, they didn't read the book, seen the book is a black book. Amen, it's a black face on there. Plus, on the back there, it says the guy was a convict. I say amen. Plus, shot dope. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Shot heroin and cocaine in my vein for 13 years. So they give me some credibility. How many know they give you some credibility? Amen. And so they don't come because they want to hear Jesus. They come, I'm serious. They don't come because they want to hear Jesus. They come, you know what I'm saying, because they didn't heard about this guy. I don't want to see if he's a fake or not. I want to see, do he know anything? And so when I go in there, you know what I'm saying, since I deal with the hardcore, you know, God says this, have a ready answer for every man that has the hope that's in you. And so, you know what I'm saying, you can't give them religion. Religion don't work. You got to give them the truth of God's word. And so in here, I touch on some things. Number one, I touch on something. Don't get nervous now. I'm just helping you out. Getting you set up. Amen. I touch on one part in here. I got a section here called Message of the Black Man. So you probably never knew what it was in. I'm just letting you know. Amen. Now, why would he write something like that? Because I read a book, amen, in the 60s called Message to the Black Man. It was by Elijah Muhammad. Amen. And turned me into a Muslim. You know, the book is still floating around. I said it's still in there. Amen. And so when they see Message of the Black Man, I say, amen. How many know they're going to look at it? Amen. They're going to. And what I deal with in there, not only there, but everywhere, and I'm helping you now, I prove from scriptures, not a whole lot, I mean, proof from scripture, you know what I mean, that the Bible, don't get nervous now, is the most integrated book on planet Earth. Just thought I'd throw it out there. You know, because some folk, not y'all, think that everybody in the Bible is all white. Preaching good now, amen. Some people think everybody in the Bible is black. I always say, okay, if everybody in the Bible is black, or if everybody in the Bible, y'all saying, was white, where the Chinese come from? Amen. I'm helping you out today. I'm helping you out. You know, it opens up your mind. You know what I'm saying? You got to look. You can't be looking at it in that same little box because after all, you know, and so I deal with that. And then, you understand, what keeps a lot of people in prison, out here, as well as in there, you know what I mean? Anytime they're going through stuff, I mean, people going through stuff, temptation, test, and trial, they got a big one. I said the church really got a big one. And sinners, this thing is so big. Their sinners know it, and they ain't even born again. They'll say it. What about Job? That's to explain everything. What about Job? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Job was a righteous man. You know what I'm saying? And blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about? So I write in there, I teach you there, what about Job? Now, just to help you out, you know what I'm saying? What Job went through, no Christian nowhere in the world should ever have to go through. Number one, it was Old Testament. We got a new one. Number two, the man was righteous, but he wasn't born again. Number three, he didn't know nothing about the blood of Jesus. Amen. Name of Jesus. Didn't have angels working. How many know what I'm talking about? And in the old covenant, Satan hadn't been revealed. And even if God had revealed to them that there was a devil, ain't nothing they could do about it. And the reason why, because Satan hadn't been judged. Y'all still here in the house. Amen. And so that's the reason why every time we read the Bible in the Old Testament, you're saying God did this and God did this and God did this. Well, just think about it. If you ain't got no revelation on no devil, and all the revelation you got is that there's a God, anything happening supernatural got to be God because I don't have no revelation of there being a devil, then who going to get the blame for everything? So the Old Testament is full of God getting the blame. Hello? And Christians that haven't rightly divided, amen, they ride along in there with that, amen. You know what I'm saying? I'm suffering just like old Job, you know what I mean? How long you been suffering, brother? I've been going through this, man, about 2 or 3 years. Well, suffering, Job only went through it 9 months. So you definitely ain't suffering like Job, amen. And I've studied it numerous times. I've been born again 34 years, amen. And so I've read the Bible from cover to cover at least 30 times. Amen. You know, just so that I can keep the word in there. Amen. In every translation. Now, I ain't mean 30 times in Amplified. I mean, you know, each time, you know, maybe y'all don't know this. I'm just helping y'all. Can I keep it real? You know, sometimes reading that Bible, you get boring. I know you ain't going to admit it. I know you ain't going to admit it, but I'm telling you it does. Amen. And so I say amen. You know what I'm saying? So what I found, and that's what got me into it, that helped me. I read the King James, you know what I'm saying, going through, you know what I mean? And they get a little boring, you know what I'm saying? I get me a new King James. And I read it all the way through. And are y'all still here? And then if I get a little bored, I get the Amplified. Amen. And see, it keeps that fire going. Amen. I said, keep that fire going. Amen. And so that's the reason why I did that. Yeah. And I studied Job. See, I studied Job so much, don't get nervous now, that I can't even read the book no more. Now, the reason why, because here's the thing. I found out when I read the book of Job that after the second chapter, God ain't saying nothing else in there. Excuse me. After the second chapter, ain't nobody doing no talking but Job and his friends, and none of them knew God. And then after they get through running their mouth for 38 chapters, I said 38 chapters. I said, after they get through running their mouth, God ain't saying nothing. I mean, ain't saying a word. And they saying everything, you know what I'm saying, in there, some of it's true, some of it ain't, you know what I'm talking about. But they wasn't speaking out of knowledge. They were speaking based on what they had heard. And so finally on the 38th chapter, you understand, God steps in and says, okay, now who are you? That's where he began to talk to him. You know what I mean? You run, can I use my language a little bit? Who are you running your mouth like that? Amen. Like you know who I am. That's how God began to talk to Job. And they talked to him like in 38. And he talked to him like in 39. In 40, you understand, Job got a little revelation. He said, man, I'm putting my hand on my mouth. He said, I ain't saying nothing else. Are y'all still here? Amen. And then God dealt with him some more. And then finally he said, you understand, I'm putting my hand on my mouth. I ain't going to say nothing else. He said, I heard about you, but now I know you. And when he knew God, he repented for everything he said. That wipes out all them 38 chapters. Excuse me. I mean, that's in your Bible. He repented of everything he said, and when he repented of everything that he said, then God said, all right, now go pray for your friends, you know what I mean, and I'll heal them, and God restored to him twice as much as he had. So the moral of the book of Job, y'all said, is not what God did to him, it's what the devil did. Amen. And so it should never happen to you and I, because we're under a better covenant, and we have more weapons. Was that all right? See, I'm just kind of getting you right, because I'm trying to help you out a little bit. Amen. Because that's what this is. And then the Lord told me to write this. Now, this is something here. Now this is going to get you. And told me to write this. Now, this right here, man, boy, this is called some stir. Now, souls been, I mean, people getting born again. This is what I'm going to preach on tonight. Because I got to preach on this. Because when I mention this title here, I might, well, is the doors locked? Well, no, I don't, but I studied that word. I found this out. God is not in control. Yeah, I got a few then. Somebody said, uh-oh, wait, let me say it again. Yeah, I know I got you. God is not in control of everything that happens down here. Every little thing that happens in your life, God is not in control. Now, see, I have to know these things because I run across things like it. See, I've been studying this for years. And what started me on, I mean, I've been knowing that, you understand what I'm talking about, because I look at my life. You know, I've heard Christians say it all the time. They say it all the time about everybody going to penitentiary. You know, God called a call on his life. That's why you're in penitentiary. What about John 8 and 44? You know what John 8 and 44 says? Okay, I quote it. John 8 and 44, Jesus was talking. He said, your father is the devil. And he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. That's what Jesus said. And basically he said, so are you. So that means that means the devil got some kids down here. Wait a minute. I mean, that's red ink. I mean, is that red ink or what? I mean, I told you to look it up. So you didn't want to look. Look, John 8 and 44. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Now, if Jesus saying that their father, and he was talking to them humans, they were scribes and Pharisees, religious leaders. If Jesus said their father was the devil, then that means the devil got some kids down here. Now, I know it hurts you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to help you out. Everybody ain't going to get saved. That ain't no negative confession, you understand? Confession is based on what God's word said. Let me say it again. Confession is based on what God's word said. You can confess all day long, but if the word don't say it, it ain't going to come to pass. You ain't in faith. You ain't in faith unless you know where the will of God is known. Amen. So I can go out here and confess all day long. I believe I got a pound of dope. I believe that I got a pound of dope. How many know God ain't going to give me no pound of dope? It don't matter about all. I can confess all I want to. That ain't in the word. How many know that ain't in the word? So my confession has got to be based on God's word. Is that right? Well, Jesus said, your father is the devil. Amen. And he didn't say everybody going to get born again. He said in this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in every nation for a witness. And then the end will come. Everybody going to hear the gospel. Everybody's hearing the gospel now. I mean, I already know. I mean, 6 years ago, my first trip to Africa, Lagos, Nigeria, I was shocked. Because I'd heard about the cabin, about being in the bush, you understand, and all that. You know, dark continent. It's a dark continent. See, most people think it's a dark continent because everybody's black. I'm giving you some truth tonight. No, that ain't the reason why it's a dark continent. The reason why it's a dark continent ain't no electricity. Now, they are all black, but ain't no electricity. I mean, ain't no light. You hear what I'm saying? The only way there's light, somebody got a generator. You know what I'm talking about. And I was shocked. I'm talking about the gospel is out. I was shocked when I first got there. I mean, they ain't got no running water. You know what I'm talking about? No restaurants, no drugstores, no grocery stores, no nothing. But everybody in there got a cell phone. I mean, 158 million folk live in Nigeria. Most populous nation on the continent of Africa. 158 million. And I didn't hardly see nobody that didn't have no cell phone. Prepaid, you know what I'm talking about? But, you know what I'm saying? And of course, now they're up. I mean, I got a pastor friend over there, man. He's all on Facebook. No electricity, but they're on Facebook. Are y'all still here in the house? Amen. So you know if they're on Facebook, they got Bibles on them cell phones. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. See, the gospel the word is going out. So he didn't say everybody going to get born again. He said that everybody will hear the gospel and then the end will come. There's a whole bunch of folk in penitentiary. You know, you see what I'm saying? Well, if they go to penitentiary, you know, God get them born again. Man, there's a bunch of people in prison need to be there because they are the devil's kids. So going to penitentiary ain't going to get you born again. Now, and then another thing too, see, God ain't in control of that, see. Because the book of James said, let no man say, when he's tempted to do evil, that God is tempting him to do evil. It said, for God cannot tempt any man to do evil, but every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and that's when sin comes from. So people, y'all saying, so we get in, not us, but folk, everybody, well, everybody, we get in the shape that we're in a lot of time, 99% of the time, because of what we choose to do. Now, I always bring this out, you understand, because when I'm talking to Christians, you know me. Well, I say, well, I know Jesus Christ, Lord, in my life, amen, because I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Well, not necessarily. Now, let me say it again. Just because you got born again don't mean God's in control of your life. See, I know I'm preaching good here because, see, y'all like the word, right? I said, right? Well, Jesus said this, daily deny yourself. Daily deny yourself. And then he said, daily pick up your cross and follow me, right? What if I say I ain't going to do it today? I mean, we're getting real today, right? Now, I mean, I know everybody in here, amen, you probably do it now because of the great teaching you've been receiving. I say amen. But I know in the beginning you didn't get up every morning talking about hallelujah, glory to God, in the word, praying, you understand, before I step outside, you know you did. I know you didn't. You understand what I'm talking about? We had to learn to do that, and we learned to do that because we got up in the morning, went on about our way, halfway through the day, all kind of stuff is going on, and then it dawns on us, man, I ain't praying today. I read my Bible. Got off in the corner somewhere, read the Bible, and things begin to smooth out, and then you learn from that, I better do what the Bible said, get up in the morning and pray. But now, if we don't pray, or you understand what I'm talking about, if we don't pray, then God don't have a voice here. God can't do nothing without your prayers. Let me help you out. God can't do nothing without some Christian praying it. And the reason why, this ain't his planet. Yeah, I know it got you. Wait a minute. This is not God's planet. When God created planet Earth, I guess God didn't have no place to live. You know, I guess he was just floating around out there in all that gas. You know what I'm saying? I tell you his face. You know what I'm talking about? You know, just a little mist. You know what I'm saying? No, man. He said, let us make man in our image. Now, he was talking about everybody in heaven. He was talking about the heavenly host. Everybody in heaven. I'm going to make man just like all y'all. That's what he was saying. That's where that us came in at. I said, that's where they us come in at. Amen. He was talking about, and he created man, but now he created the world first, right? I said, is that right? Created this planet. I mean, sun, moon, stars, right? All the animals. Is that right? And then he created his man, put man in that garden. Man had everything. Man didn't lack for nothing. And God said, man, this is very good. This is all right. Is that right? And then after God did all that, then he brought the animals to Adam to see what Adam would call him. And the reason why, it ain't God's planet. Don't get nervous now. That's what Genesis 1:26 down to 28 says. He gave us dominion, authority, and rule. Said everything down here will obey you. And then he proved to Adam that what I said was true, because now here's all these animals. What you going to name them? And the Bible said, whatever name, that's in the third chapter of Genesis, whatever name said that Adam gave them, that was their name. I mean, I can see Adam now saying, boy, you're a giraffe. God never said, no, you ain't named no, that ain't no giraffe, Adam, that's a lion. How many know he didn't correct him? Whatever he called them, that was their name. Do you know Adam named the woman. No, God didn't name the woman, it's man's planet. When God brought that woman out, Adam said, wow, man. Woman. Don't worry about it. Y'all catching up. But Adam is the one that called her woman. Now, why is that? Because man was in control. God, only thing God wanted then is the same thing God wants now. Fellowship. That's the reason why he created you and I. We're the only species in the universe that can communicate with God on his level. We can talk to God, and God can talk to us. No, nothing else can. Animals can't do it. Birds can't do it. Nothing on planet Earth can communicate with God on his level but you and I. And the reason being, because he made you and I in his image. I always get guys when I share that, because I like to prove the point, see? So I tell him, I said, now when you're looking at me, you're looking at God. I know that really got you. Let me put it like I said. I said, I look like God. And then, you know, that corner man, wait a minute. Now, God ain't black. Don't get nervous. You know, you see, because they're looking in the. I said, I look like God. Well, I mean, I don't care where I'm at, what prison I'm in. When I say that, everything stops. And then I always hit it with the next. I said, I look just like God. I said, in fact, I know where everybody's mind's at. I said, in fact, you understand, the Bible tells you what color God is. And when I say that, they all listen. Then I said, turn to John 4:24. And pages, just you can hear the pages. I mean, everybody. People ain't there reading the Bible. They turn to the pages. You know. And John, yeah, you look at it. John 4:24. And John, I mean, it tells you, John 4:24 tell you exactly what color God is. I know what you're thinking. Color don't matter where you come from. But read it. John 4:24 will tell you exactly what color God is. It says God is a spirit. So if God's a spirit and I was created in his image, in his likeness, then I must be a spirit. And because if I'm a spirit and God's a spirit, I look like God. Is that right? And so do you. So that's me. So when I'm looking at you, I'm not looking at you. Right? When I'm looking at you, I'm looking at the house you live in. How many times have we seen people in the coffin? You know what I'm saying? I've seen a bunch of folk in the coffin. You ever notice how they look? Man, look just like them. Boy, they did a good job. How many know what I'm talking about? Is that right? You know what I'm saying? But something is missing out of there. How many know something is missing? The life that was in that house is gone. So you ain't nobody. This physical thing here is just your house to carry you around in. You are a spirit. You have a soul with your mind, your will, and your emotions, and y'all live in a body. And when you die, amen, if Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life, amen, then you got to go where those kind of spirits go, which is called hell. Thank God ain't nobody in here going. So God built this planet for us. Amen. See, God has a place. It's called heaven. It's called, God lives on a planet called heaven. And we know it's a planet. It's a real place because they got streets up there. They got gates up there. God is sitting on the throne. Is that right? So it's got to be a physical place. God has a body. I hope this ain't too much for you. Now, I can talk about something else. Y'all all right? I said, God has a body. God has a body. And I know he does because Moses got tired of talking to that storm, that stuff up there. Moses said, hold it, show me your glory. God said, all right, no man can look on my face and live. I'm going to put you behind this rock. I'm going to pass by you and you can see my backside. Now, if God got a backside, how many know he got to have a front side? Did no spirit float by there? You know what I'm saying? I said, did no spirit float by there? God showed Moses that he had a form. So God has a form. He do because he's sitting down in heaven. And he gave you and I this planet. And the only thing he wanted is just what he did in the beginning. It came down every day in the cool of the day and fellowship with Adam. Just came down. Hey, Adam, what's happening, man? You know, Adam, everything fine, God. I said, amen. You know what I'm saying? You like that? Yes, yes, sir. I mean, everything was wonderful. And then it happened. There was a serpent in the garden. We all know this is the gospel story, see? There was a serpent in the garden. You know what I'm saying? This is how God, God's not in control. See, mankind is supposed to be in control of the planet. God gave it to you. He told you, us, to control everything down here, and we were supposed to control everything down here by the words out of our mouth. In the beginning. When that girl, it wasn't her fault. I always tell people, always got straightened out. See, it wasn't her fault. See, women always cut on that. Amen. It wasn't her fault. It was the guy. I mean, after all, where was the woman when God told Adam not to eat? No, she hadn't even been created. She hadn't even been created. And so the only way she knew not to eat, Adam told her, which was good. And then here she is eating on the forbidden fruit. And the Bible, she says she ate and turned and gave him some of that fruit. He's standing there watching her disobey God. Now, if I was there, it wouldn't have went down like that. I would have told the girl, put that down. Now, God said, if you eat that, you're going to die. I don't know what death is, but it sounds like something bad. And then God going to have to give me another one of you because I am not going out like that. Amen. That's all he had to do. But instead, he said, instead, you understand, instead of him doing that, man, she went on and smoked that crack pipe and turned around and gave him some too. And it's still... It still happened today. You know, I talk to guys all the time, man. I just got out and then come back in prison. You know what I'm saying? What happened, man? Man, I was doing good out there, Brother Bumps, man. Had a job. I was going to church. You know what I'm saying? Everything was going fine. I met this girl, man. I thought she was all right. I came home one evening. She was smoking crack. And next thing I know, I was supposed to start smoking crack with a man, and they violated me. Same thing that happened with Adam and Eve. Now, when that happened, Satan became the god of this world. Am I doing all right? Okay, I didn't say it all. It's just called backdoor preaching. So now I got to give you a scripture, right? Turn to John chapter 12. Will you bleed the red ink? You know, can't nobody mess with red ink. I mean, theologians can't mess with the red ink. John chapter 12, look at verse number 30. Jesus talking. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. That's New King James Version. King James said prince. When they translated back then, they were scared to put a ruler in there. But all you got to do is get your Strong's out. Amen. Or either get your New King James Version. That's what it said. Now, Jesus said, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Now you know it couldn't have been God the Father. Is that right? Well, you know, I know y'all scholars. I teach guys in prison all the time. You know what I'm saying? And everybody else, you know what I'm saying? I need more than one verse. In order for it to be absolute, the Bible says, let every word of God be accepted out of my mouth by two or three witnesses, right? So let me give you another. Can I give you another? John chapter 14. Guess what? Red ink. Either this is true or Jesus was lying. You know, some people want to believe theirs. Don't get nervous now. So they'll just call him a lie. I mean, some people will. You know, they'd rather believe what they believe. They'd rather hold on to what they believe rather than going by what God's word said. That's called religion. John 14, look what Jesus said right here in verse number 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Now, again, you know he wasn't talking about his father. Because John 10 and 30 says, I and my Father are one. The Bible says God was in Christ, was in Christ, was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. But here Jesus said, the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Evidently, there had to be another ruler. Is that right? Well, can I give you one more? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 3. I'll quote this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, there you go. And verse number 3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. So the reason why people don't get born again ain't got nothing to do with no predestination. Ain't no such thing as predestination. See, if God predestined me to get born again and predestined you not to get born again, that's called respect to person. And God don't have that. Ain't no predestination. The only predestination, you understand, is that it has been predestined, if you're born again, that you will be conformed into the image of his son. That's a given. If you're born again, loving the word of God, you're going to be conformed into the image of his son. You're predestined to be that. You're already that. You're seated already with him in heavenly places. But God don't choose one, don't choose another, see? But that's how religion, that's what how Satan has blinded the minds of them that don't believe. Maybe God don't want them saved. Maybe it ain't time for them to come in. Well, they'll come in when God's time is. God's time is always right now. And if they realize that the only person that's blinding them is the devil, then they get born again. God's not in control. You know, all the hurricanes and all that kind of stuff. Amen. Don't get nervous. I'm going to preach with you. You know, Haiti, New Orleans. Amen. Religious crowd. You know why God did that? All that sin. Witchcraft. Well, I always tell folks, if that's God's MO, there should not be one Islamic country on the planet. If God destroyed them because of sin and left Iran up there, God got a problem. Are y'all still here in the house? No, God didn't do that. The wages of sin is death. Romans tells us the whole creation came upon the same curse that Adam came upon. Wasn't no thorns or thistles or anything like that in the garden, man. I mean, people say, well, Adam had a job. Yeah, he had a job just going around looking at the flowers. I mean, that's the only job he had, you know what I mean? Well, some people say, well, he had a job. He had to take care of the ground and everything. You know, he had to pull up the thorns. How is going to be some thorns in there? You know what I'm talking about? And it wasn't no sin. It wasn't even no rain. I say, amen. It was a mist that came down every day. I say, amen. All that happened after sin came. Then God said, you have to make your living by the sweat of your brow. Making your living by the sweat of your brow is a curse. Now, you can do it if you want to. I ain't doing it. Not when I found out that I was free. You know what I'm talking about? That I can believe God. Hallelujah. I'd rather believe God. Amen. I do what I got to do. You know what I'm talking about? But amen. See, that's a curse. And so the whole planet is under the curse. That's why you have hurricanes and all this kind of stuff, because the planet is under curse. You know, I mean, when Satan took over, man, the rocks be shifting and all that kind of stuff. You understand? God didn't create it like that. That's all because of sin, you understand? So you get an earthquake. You know, just like Matthew 24. Don't get nervous now. I'm really preaching good now. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. You know, I had to get myself here once in a while. You know what I mean? But just like Matthew 24. Just like Matthew 24. You know, Matthew 24 talks about in the last day there'll be earthquakes and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I mean, it does. How many know Jesus said that? Nowhere in there did he say, and I'm going to be doing it. He just let us know it's going to be happening. Why? Because Satan is trying his best, amen, to hold on. I mean, he's trying to hold on, amen. And so he's doing all kinds of stuff, amen, blaming God for it. That's what Satan does. He hits you upside your head with a rock, and you turn around and you know, like God threw the rock. You know what I'm talking about? And that's the reason why a lot of Christians don't get set free. You know what I mean? Because somehow or another, God's testing me in this. God ain't testing you. The only person that's testing you is Satan. He don't want you. He wants your word. Because if he gets your word, he got you. But if you get the word in there, you got him. And he knows that. Now, I'm coming to a close here. And so, you know, they say, you know, religious folk, well, Satan couldn't do anything if God didn't let him. Really? Let me help you out. How many know that your Bible is already complete? How many know you got the book of Revelation? Is that right? Now, in the Revelation, the book of Revelation, we find out what's going to happen to the devil. At the end time, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire to burn forever, right? Until then, he is a devil. I mean, God don't have to say, okay, go over and get him. He gonna get you anyway, because he's a devil. That's what he does. And the only way he gonna stop is when he's thrown into the lake of fire. God don't allow the devil to get us. We allow it. You know, the Bible says whatever you allow to, translation of that is whatever you allow to exist on earth, I, your heavenly Father, must allow to exist. Whatever you disallow to exist on earth, I, your heavenly Father, must disallow to exist. Because you're the owner of the planet down here. So in order for God to do something, he got to have your permission. Mm-hmm. Okay. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse number 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Then why I got to ask? Now, I know y'all haven't thought that before. I know you haven't thought it. I mean, if God knows, right, what I need before I even ask him, why I got to ask? So a theologian will give you something. Well, God like to hear your voice. No, he knows what I need. You understand what I'm talking about? But he can't give it to me unless I ask him, because I got to give him permission to come down here and do it. Okay, I know you don't like it. Let me help you out like it's here. I know you can understand like it's here. Just say, I got a house. It's my house. I built this house from the ground up. I know where everything in that house is. And I sell you that house. Now, I built a house. I know where everything's in there, but it ain't my house no more because I gave you that house. Now, say you have a major plumbing problem. You can't find the shutoff valve. I know what you need. Because I built the house. But I just can't come over and go in your house. You know what I'm saying? Without picking up a case. Is that right? If I come over your house, you ain't asked me or nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to go on in there, go on down to your basement, get to messing with your plumbing and everything. I say, man, police come, I'm going to jail. How many know I'm going to jail? Because it ain't my house no more. It's your house. I gave it to you. So the only way I know what you need. And I'm going to get word to you. I'm going to tell somebody to call you or whatever. I'm going to try to get word to you so you can ask me to come over there. Now, if you ask me to come, I'll go there and fix your plumbing. That same way with God. God knows what we need. Amen. But he cannot do it. He can't do it unless I ask him. So the best thing to do, you understand, is ask him first. Lord, what do I need? He already know. I mean, I know what I need. Do you? You might think you need $5. You probably do need $5 now, but you're going to need some more tomorrow. Or you understand what I'm talking about? So God knows what you need. He know you need more than five. Hello, out there, somebody. So it'd be good to go to God before I pray for the five, so I don't have to come back again tomorrow. You understand what I'm talking about? And ask God, you know, he know what I need. And then pray along the lines that he shared with me. That's called fellowship. And that's all God wants. You know, of course, Adam did all that, but, you know, he was fellowship with God. God's the one that gave him the knowledge, the wisdom, you understand, to do all everything he did, to name all that. You understand what I'm talking about? But that's because he had intimate fellowship with God. Same thing with us. Once we realize, you understand, that God just can't do anything. I mean, if God, you know, there's some things God can't do. I mean, he's God, but there's some things God can't do. He can't save you if you don't want to get saved. Impossible for God to save somebody. All he got the power, but he has limited himself to his word. He said he'll exalt his word above his name. So he has limited himself to his word right here. He gave us just to live by. Everything in the world, everything is not revealed here, just all we need. That's what Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the things that have been revealed to us belong to us, but the secret things belong to the Lord. There are some secret things that we ain't going to find out until we go to heaven. So I don't worry about them. I just deal with the stuff that I can read. You understand? Because that's what revealed to me. That's enough, you understand, to get me through this life, get me prosperous. Amen. I say amen. And healthy and wealthy and wise, you understand what I'm saying, and go to heaven and get everybody else going to heaven with me. I can do all that with just two or three verses. But God cannot save nobody that don't want to be saved. You know, God can't heal nobody that don't want to be healed. See, our will got to come in there. You understand what I'm talking about? God cannot lie. I tell folk all the time, you understand, now if God, somebody said, well, amen, God, look here. If God decided to lie, he can't lie. It's impossible. If God came in here right now and said, all right, I'm going to lie. These chairs are not gray. Every chair in here will change colors. And the memory of them ever being gray will be wiped out of your mind. See, God can't lie because God always has what he says. It's impossible for God to lie. So God can't do nothing, you understand? See, I'm wrapping it up. That's the answer to, you know, I hear people all the time, you know, there's horrible crimes that happen in this world. And that's what everybody said. Why God allow that? You know, why God allowed that? Here's this man, you know what I'm saying, kidnapped them kids. You know what I'm saying? God could have stopped that. No, he couldn't. Not unless somebody in that arena there was praying. That's why intercession is so powerful. In the spirit, you know what I'm saying? Because we praying for stuff that we don't know what of. God knows, you know what I'm talking about? We interceding for folk, you know what I'm saying, in your neighborhood and all that. You know what I'm talking about? Be good to get your mind in line with your spirit so y'all too in agreement. You know, your spirit man and your mind is in agreement with what you're praying for. Amen. Instead of letting the mind think about the roast in the refrigerator. But not the refrigerator. Anyway, move right along. I know y'all don't know about no roast. But my point being is somebody got to pray. Now, how many times have we seen where somebody go and stick up a Christian? I mean, just recently had it on news. I mean, last year. Here's a guy, y'all say, in Indiana, goes in there, stick up a Christian. Now, he just got to stick it up down the street. And he goes in there to stick up this person. He don't know a Christian. He goes in there. But that girl knew her authority. She got to talk to him about Jesus. You understand? Next thing you know, he put the gun down. Next thing you know, he apologized, run out of the store. I mean, so much news that he got on Oprah. Yeah, that's a couple years ago. I mean, she even helped the defense and everything until they found out that he was already there. He ran around sticking up everybody. You know what I mean? But my point, why come he didn't kill her? Why come he just didn't take that money? Because she had her authority, and she prayed, and when she prayed, you understand, then God could get in on the scene. But God is not in control of sinners' lives. He's in control of our life if we let him, but God can't control no sinner. It's just like, it's like my Jesus house, you know, three or four years ago, brother was there and he'd been looking for a job and everything. I came home one day and he was really frustrated outside there. I said, "What's wrong, brother?" "Man, it ain't right. I'm doing the Bible. I'm doing all the commandments." I knew he didn't know what he was talking about. "I'm doing all that, man. Why come God won't make nobody give me a job?" I said, "Cause he can't." I said, "If God could make somebody give you a job, he could make them get saved." I said, "The only way God can make somebody give you a job, it would have to be a Christian. Because God already has the ear of the Christian." You see what I'm saying? God could speak to a Christian and say, "Hire him." But he can speak to a sinner. The sinner ain't going to pay no attention to that. How many times did God speak to us before we got saved? I mean, you know, it don't happen to y'all. But it happens all the time. You understand? God said, "Give that $15,000. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That wasn't another God. Oh, you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know, it happens all the time. You know what I mean? Is that right? Just because we hear a voice from heaven don't necessarily mean we're going to act on it. And, you know, and that's what I love about God. I used to tell people all the time, people that feel like they missed their calling. You can't miss your calling. You know why? Because God knows who he's dealing with. So God knows it's going to take you 15 years to make your mind up to obey him. So he started calling you 15 years earlier. Yeah, he said, "If I call him now, it's going to take him 15 years. You understand what I'm talking about? To obey this. So let me go and call him now." You understand? So when you finally do obey that call, you ain't been out. You ain't been disobedient. I'm learning that God is smarter than I am. And he only have good things for us. And so God is in control when we give him control. So, you know, I give God control every day. I've been doing it ever since I got born again. I get up every morning. You understand what I'm talking about? And I'm praying. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. You understand? I don't care what happened. I'm going to get me some word time in there. You understand? Because I know there's a devil out there. And I know he ain't just out there. He tried to get in your house, too. I mean, not y'all's house, but some other folks' home. Amen. I mean, you know that. Get ready to come to church, can't find the shoe. You know, I had little kids. You understand what I'm talking about? The shoe was right there. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'm half an hour late, or I can't find the shoe. Satan hid the shoe. Yeah, well, the Bible says, like, every good and perfect gift come from the Father above. Every bad and imperfect gift come from the devil. God is a good God, and there's absolutely no evil in him at all. And the devil is a bad devil, and there's absolutely no good in him at all. And the Bible says this, in 1 Peter 5, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And lets me know he can't devour everybody. If he could just jump on everybody, he wouldn't have to seek. So he's seeking for somebody who don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. He's seeking for somebody, you understand, who don't know. Then he'll jump on you, you understand, and try to devour you. That's the reason why the word of God is so important. That's the reason why we got to know the truth. In order to set other people free, you understand, we've got to know what God's word said. As I was saying, I shared this message down in the prison in West Tennessee high security facility, Supermax, last year before I wrote it. You understand what I'm saying? God was dealing with me on writing the book. And he told me to name it. God is not in control. And it's awesome. Like in Indiana, I got in the chapel. And the brothers were telling me, you understand, some of them religious Bible studies, they come in there, "Burn that book, burn it. Don't open it up. Don't open that book up because of the title." But the thing is, all the sinners now are trying to get a hold of the book. Where's that book, man? They talking about burning. Oh, y'all still here in the house? Amen. Y'all still there? So they're getting bored. But I preached that down there, man. Like I said, I preached that down there 3 days on one side. Other side, I was preaching that for 3 days. On the third day, I'm in the chapel. You know what I'm saying? The chapel holds about 150. And they inside the chapel and all outside in the yard. You know what I'm saying? Because you come right off the yard into the chapel. They all outside the yard, door open. You know what I'm saying? Listen to the word of God. And the officers letting them do it. On the third night, you know what I'm saying, I'm preaching that man. The officer, the inmate came in telling us, you know what I'm saying, the officers were saying, what is he giving away over in that chapel? You know, he got, you know, they thought I was giving away something free over there. They said because they had never seen, and you ain't supposed to do this, they never seen men run across the yard to get to the chapel. They was running to get to the chapel so they can get a seat. And here's the deal. The people who was running was not the Christians. It was the sinners. They was running, you know what I'm saying, so to make sure they could get them a front row seat. Amen. I mean, man, we had revival. Because the truth set people free. Man, you know, that prisons is full of folk that feel like God did it. You know, God did this. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, that's how I feel. See, that's why I got born again. I felt I was into Islam. And then my third time down in the federal prison, that's the thought hit me. I said, wait a minute. Because I didn't know nothing about no God or nothing except what I learned in Islam. And I said, man, it ain't no God. I said, because if there was a God, this is how sinners think. If there's a God, he would know that I'm not as bad as everybody say I am. That's how they think. And I would be and got a break somewhere. You don't see what I'm talking about. So I said, it can't be no God, because on the inside, I didn't want to go. And that's how they think it, man. If there's a God, man, why come he didn't stop me? You don't see what I'm talking about? And so we have to let them know, which I do. We had to let them know, God can't stop you. You know, you got to stop yourself. You got to make your mind up. You know, just like people, my reentry program, you understand what I'm talking about? Guys come there, you understand? We got a drug program as well. Come there, you understand? And I let them know, no, we ain't going to go through no changes. You're going to make your mind up. You're going to stop using. I don't play that relapse. You know, that's the terminology they have in a drug thing. You know, everybody going to relapse. Not as Jesus' house, you don't relapse. If you relapse, you're out. Stop. Just make your mind up. You through. Now, we're going to help you by dropping you. You know, we're going to do drug drops. You know what I'm talking about? Random drug drops. Amen. And if you're dirty, then we're going to put you out. Zero tolerance. But as a result of that, you understand, you know, everybody's trying to get into Jesus' house. You know, I mean, people getting their family member, they want to pay, and we charge $300 a month for the drug person off the street. Prisoners could come, you understand, there ain't no cost when they come straight out of prison. But everybody's trying to get in there, you understand. That's why we got the other two facilities, because of the great success we're having. But, and the success we're having, we ain't got no drug, we ain't sitting around no circle. Talking about I'm a dope fiend. We ain't sitting around doing no NA and AA. You know, that stuff don't work. Don't get in there. I mean, let me help you out. It works for lawbreakers, but not criminals. You got two types of people inside prison. You got lawbreakers and you got criminals. Criminals gonna get you. I don't care what. Lawbreaker don't need to be in the penitentiary anyway. He just went on smokes of weed, you know, saying got busted. Lawbreaker. But criminals, you understand, those ones been shooting dope all down through. Those criminals. You understand what I'm saying? They ain't lawbreakers. They criminals. You understand? You ain't going to get through them with no AA and no NA. I mean, man, when that counselor get through, run across a real one, they will have that counselor bringing in some dope. I mean, that's true. That counselor, I mean, a real dope fiend. I said, a real dope fiend? Man, you give him 2 or 3 days in there, amen, boy, you're going to bring him some dope. That's the truth. So we don't deal with that. You understand? We take you straight to the source. Here's your source. He sent his word and delivered them. And so if you can't get it by the word of God, brother, like I tell them all the time, this place is not for everybody. If you can't get it through the word, you're in the wrong place. We ain't got no other program but God's program. And if God's program don't work, you're in the wrong place. And it's working. And we, like I said, we got 30-some guys in there. Amen. Some of them been there 3 and 4 years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, praise the Lord. But they born again now, spirit-filled. I ain't going to put no Christian out. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Working in the church, giving their tithes and offerings, you understand? And starting businesses and hiring folk. So God's in control when you give it to him. And if you're in here and you ain't never asked Jesus Christ to come to your heart, you have not given him no control. And if you haven't asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart, you are controlling your life. And the devil. Well, ain't no. Let me help y'all. You ain't controlling nothing. Because there ain't no middle ground. Either the Bible says, whoever you choose to serve, that's whose slave you are. It ain't no middle ground. If you ain't serving God, you're automatically serving the devil. And you're not being led by yourself. You ain't doing what you want to do. You're doing what the devil wants you to do. And when he gets tired of you, you understand, then he'll just go and do something bad to you. So the only way, you understand, that we make Jesus Christ, you understand, the head of our life and control our life, we have to ask him to come into our life. And then we got to make him the Lord of our life. It's one thing getting born again, love Jesus, you understand? It's another thing with Jesus Christ, your Lord. When he's your Lord, you don't want to do nothing that displeases him. And so that's what my prayer is for everybody here, you understand, that you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Not just your Savior, but the Lord of your life. Let him really be in control of your life because he knows what's best for you. Thank y'all for your time. Yes, sir. Sure. Any questions about the Jesus House? Well, Jesus House is a Christian program we've been having. Well, I've been doing it now for about 20 years. And this facility we got now, you understand, holds about, we can house 46 in there. We usually run about 30, 35, because we use the rooms for, we got a weight room and all that kind of stuff in there. And it's for guys who give their life to Jesus Christ while they're incarcerated. Then they can be paroled there or come there immediately when they come out of penitentiary. And they can come from any state. So we have guys from Florida, you know, from all over the United States that come to the Jesus House. And once they get there, you know, we teach them the Word of God. Of course, we got high-speed computers in there, you know what I mean, because that's the only way you're going to get a job, go online. So if they don't know that, so one of the brothers will get with them and teach them how to do that. You understand what I'm saying? We got a program, you understand, that we don't mess with GEDs. When you can go to any community college, anybody can go to any community college without a GED and without a high school diploma. Anybody can go to a community college. And so rather than deal with them on getting a GED, we, for those who want to learn something, we're going to hook them up, you understand, to go to like IUPUI, you know, a community college, and take a year or two, you understand, course, you understand, in some technology skill that they can be employable, you understand, in a year, because they usually stay there for a year or two anyway. And so that's how we deal with the men there. We teach them, you understand, now they are ministering with me. We got ministry teams from the Jesus House that goes inside the jail once a month, and nursing home and the street and all that. So they're all ministering the gospel, you understand, those they want to. And then we got, well, God just so good. two houses and another commercial building. We just paid off the Jesus House. And then in the process of that, we got another building, you understand, through that debt free. So we remodeled that. It was a 3-bedroom upstairs, 2-bedroom downstairs, and a 2-bedroom on the corner. And some of my guys, you understand, ex-inmates are rappers. So they got their own label. They got their own studio now. Amen. In one of the places. Amen. And they're that's a whole new thing. They go inside prison with me down here in Kentucky and other places, you understand, and we just have revival. And then, you understand, so then I got another house. I got one girl staying there, and we got a place for another girl, anybody else want to come there. One girl standing there, she's a handicapped. So she stayed there. We pick her up church and all that kind of stuff. And then we got another house 2 years ago. Somebody just came to Jesus' house and gave me a house. Now, somebody lived in the house. You know, somebody lived in the house. And he said that the woman that lives there want to live there. So we didn't sign no contract. And he told her, well, you can stay here until Pastor Bumpers decide what else he want to do with it. So I got the house approved, you know what I mean, to have women in there. And then I ain't never even been in the house. 2 years, I ain't been in the house. And so the woman, you understand, stopped paying me something like 6 months ago. And how many know the law is for the lawless? Amen. And we send people back in and all that. And so find out she's using crack. You know what I mean? Don't want Jesus or anything like that. So I'm in the process. Well, I said that mother. I'm in the process of, you know, having her evicted. We already did that. And she's supposed to be moving out. But I'm closing with it. Here's what I'm talking about the women. So my plans were to use that house there. Once we got the woman out, we'll go in and remodel it, clean it up and everything, and use that house there. Well, week before last, I get a phone call from the Jesus House, and one of my guys tell me that the woman called me, you know, want to know about the house over on Gladstone. That's that house where the woman is at. So I thought it was some more drama. So the woman called me. She said, yes, I'm with Habitat for Humanity. And we understand you own the property at 3247 Graceland. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, we own the house next door. And she said, so how would you like to have it? So I said, well, yeah, if it's free. If it's free. She said, yeah, it is free. We want to give it to you. And I said, well, praise the Lord. She said, okay. She says, now, whose name do you want it? You want it in your name or you want it in Jesus' inside prison ministry? Well, I needed a big C, so I put it in Jesus' inside prison ministry. Amen. And so they're working out the deed. She said, once they get all the deed and everything, well, then they'll just come on, call me, you know what I'm saying? I can come back and pick up the deed. So that gave me 3 houses, all in the same area, and 2 of them next door. So the 2 next door is going to be the place, you know what I'm saying, for the 20 women. Hallelujah. Debt free. Praise the Lord. Any other question, comment, or remark? Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, those that complete our program is something like a 95% success rate. Never go back to prison. 95% success rate. And that means, you understand, it's a 1 to 2 year recommended program. In Indiana don't have no parole system as such. You know what I mean? So Indiana, like if you get 10 years, you do 5. And then once you do the 5, you automatically got a year worth of probation or parole to do. That's just automatically. And then if you violate within that year, you can go back and do the whole 5. You understand what I'm talking about? So when they come to us, you understand, I know most of them, 90% of them is from Indiana. Then I know, you understand, they got a year or 2 worth of parole paper to do. So our goal in there, as I tell them, is not to get them no job. I mean, they can get a job, you understand what I'm saying? But I tell them, your priority should be get off paper. Because if you get a job and offend, you're going to go back and do that 5 years. So you should think about what you need to do to be successful. To get off paper. Now, if you can get a job, you understand what I'm saying, and still work the program, wonderful. You know what I mean? All that's fine. But the job should not be your goal. Education should not be your goal. Your goal should be to get off parole. You see what I'm saying? That's what stops the recidivism rate, because most people, 85%, go back to penitentiary within 3 years after they're out. 85% go back. And 85% go back, they go back because they violated parole. And like they say, of the 85% that go back, half of them commit a crime the first week. And the reason why, like in Indiana, most places, when a guy get out of prison, they don't give him nothing. Indiana give you $50. You've been locked up 4 years, you understand what I'm talking about, they give you $50. Now, you got to have an address. But like in Indiana, you can go to the mission, address, family, or somebody said you're going to live there, you know what I mean. But what you going to do with $50 when you get out? With one outfit. And you're supposed to make it, So a lot of guys, you understand, people in that, they don't even try. They know they ain't nobody going to give them no job. The mayor's office downtown, which we're well familiar with all them, their reentry program down there, they said in order for a convict anywhere to find meaningful employment, it's going to take 6 to 9 months. Now, what are you going to do within that 6 to 9 months? And then if you got a violent charge, you understand what I'm talking about? Say he had a robbery, or something like that, then it's almost impossible to get a job unless God work a miracle. So in the meantime, they still need some place to live, because if they don't, they're going to take something. I mean, just common sense. I got to eat, and the only thing I know how to do is stick up and you see what I'm talking about? And that's the reason why they do it. So that's the reason why we have the Jesus House. It breaks that cycle. And everybody loved the parole department there, probation department. They said they wish every one of their clients would have to stay at the Jesus House. So we got that open, and we got another one open. That's what we do there. And then we deal with guys that is on drugs, if they got a sponsor. And I always say, we charge $75 a week for a guy coming out of prison once he get employed. But we ain't pushing the employment. You see what I'm talking about? But once they get employed, they got to pay us $75 a week. Now, that includes everything. Food, clothes, we got all that. Everything's right there in the weight room. Everything's right there. They don't have to do nothing. You know what I mean? And so we charge $75 a week, which is like $300 a month. Well, if somebody got a loved one, which we get this all the time, on the street using drugs, they want him to come to our place and get clean, then you got to sponsor him. You see what I'm talking about? With the $300 up front, non-refundable. See, that lets me know that he's going to be there for 30 days because you paying this money. He ain't going to just try to come in here like a mission and sleep for 2 or 3 days and cuss everybody out because he got their sponsor, you know. So we're dealing with them. We got several guys there like that. And I'm thinking about Mike Woods. He's been there maybe about 8-9 months. All his friends, family, and everybody is just raving on how well the brother's doing, you know what I'm saying, since he's been there at our program. He ain't never, you know, and they trying to get other their friends in there since because it's been so successful with him. So that's what we do. You know, the Lord has blessed us. You know, I mean, y'all know the word does it. And we word folk. And we feel, we know, boy, we can get the word in you. It's going to change you. So that's my vehicle. I teach there, you understand, a couple of days a week. Got other teachers coming in. All my instructors are ex-offenders. Guys who I knew and ministered to, you understand, they've been out 10 years or so. You understand, hardcore, you know what I mean? So people listen to them. And so those are my instructors. You understand what I'm saying? So they know how to get in the guy's face. You know, he want to talk crazy. You know, let him know, man, you get mess up. You know what I'm saying? And they can talk a guy back into Jesus' house, you know. And if we have any drama, we call police. Yeah, we tell them in there, we don't want to hear that snitch word. Like we tell them, we ain't in the street no more. You know what I'm saying? We law-abiding citizens. So we don't fight. Law-abiding citizens call police. So if y'all want to talk crazy, we're going to dial 911. So we ain't never had a fight in the Jesus house, y'all stayed in 20 years. Yeah. So, you know, I am really thankful to God for calling me. Amen. He gets all the praise, God, and all the honor. Amen. Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Dr. Bumpus, I've never heard you preach with so much joy since I've heard you for years now. You're just in another place. Praise God. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. I'm telling you what slapped the devil up the side of the head. And I love this ministry. He didn't mention it, but he's talked about statistics before that a career criminal will commit so many hundred crimes a year. And over a lifetime, it's in the thousands of crimes. That means that's made that many victims. And if you can turn one around, turn his life around, that's that many victims you've prevented.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, what an awesome, what an awesome work. We're going to take up a love offering for Jesus Inside Prison Ministries. If you'd like an offering envelope.